and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's draw with Clyde, preview the final away game of the season at Kelty Hearts, and we have more news on the managerial front. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers. With me once again is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, Colin. How are you?
Aye, not too bad. Have we got our Saturday yet?
It's still a Saturday. Yes. I am really Saturday.
Yeah. Very, very sore. So we'll not touch on it too much. But I'm afraid we're going to have to later on. Lots to get through, lots of news to get through this week. So we will start with the ongoing managerial situation. The hunt for a new manager continues. A couple of questions have come in with regards to that as well from a couple of guys, so we'll get those as well. It seems that we might be looking at a couple of contenders that are no longer contenders now after what's been happening over the weekend. I think it's safe to say Barry Robson is no longer a contender for the...
if he ever was a contender.
If he ever was a contender, it seems to be that he is... I think he's probably the favourite now to get the Aberdeen job on a permanent basis. I know he's there till the end of the season anyway. He's doing pretty well. The results are going well. And after the result on Sunday, I think that just kind of tips the weight towards him.
Yeah, I think Barry's a shoo-in to get the Aberdeen job. I kind of see how Aberdeen could possibly look at anybody else at the moment, really. So from your point of view, it rules him out coming to Balmour if he was ever in contention for it. Had things maybe not worked out the way they have at Aberdeen, he might have been a candidate if he fancied it, but no, I think he'll certainly be given the job full-time by Dave Cormack.
And it's a weird thing because, as you said, timing is a weird thing because had Goodwin not been sacked, and Davey Robertson had left, or even back when Jim had left, back in October, November time, had he really been considering taking on a managerial role and looking to sort of cut his teeth at the lower levels, I think Peterhead would have been the perfect job for him. Obviously, he's in and around Aberdeen area anyway. He would have had the links to bring in younger Aberdeen players kind of on loan, etc. So he would have had that to his advantage. But as you said, just because other things that hadn't worked out or hadn't worked in our favour, it suddenly it doesn't become a candidate for us.
No, I'd agree. I think the timing, from your point of view, is not ideal. Obviously, Barry came in at a time that Aberdeen were really struggling. He's galvanised the team, and he's got them playing some really good stuff. Like you said, the links he would have had could have been beneficial to us. There might even have been a world where he could have been our manager, but also maybe still in the books as a coach somewhere with Aberdeen. I'm sure there'd have been a way that could have worked, being a part-time club. Balmour, but yeah, disappointing, but you know, I think Barry's got bigger fish to look at.
Ian McCall as well, we believe, is no longer a candidate for the job as well. Murmurings over the weekend that he was even had discussions with the club, but those have now ended. A bold one, I would have thought, considering it looks likely that we're going to be in League Two. A bold one for him. I'm not sure just how much fully committed he may have been to the position had he come in.
I think the fact that talks broke down over the weekend, given the results, is maybe an indicator that I think it would have been a bold move, certainly, to get Ian McCall in. I still think we'll probably go down the route of an experienced coach or manager, however you want to describe it. But I think Ian McCall would drop all the way down to League Two, which at the moment looks inevitable for us.
I think if you were going to get Ian McCall in, I think that should have been done almost immediately after David Robertson had left, because I think you would have needed that experience. Obviously, it's not just a case of you just click your fingers and he turns up kind of thing. There are other things in the background. The thing for me is, if he had joined, and let's say he'd started at the start of next season and we got off to a really good start in League Two, within a matter of 3, 4, 5 months' time, another full-time club comes in from maybe somebody struggling in the Championship, maybe somebody top end of League One, but I said, right, we're going to take you back, we're going to take you in as full-time. He's not going to turn that down, especially if it's in and around the Glasgow area, and then suddenly we're back to the same position again, looking for another manager.
I think that's a difficult situation that Roger and the board will be in. They're looking for a manager to come in that, obviously, if the club's doing well, your manager's doing well, they will be headhunted by other clubs, but you're really looking for a manager to come in and create a wee bit of stability. We've had three managers this season. We've got three wins to our name. It's been a really rough season, so you're looking for somebody now to come in and sort of stabilise the club and try and see how we can move forward. I don't think bringing in a manager of... No, don't get me wrong, a manager like Ian McCall's ability would be a great addition to us, but as you rightly point out, I think if a club's doing well in the Championship, or maybe not so well, Ian might be the man that they choose, given his location as well. So I think it would have been a bold move to get him in, like you. I think he would have probably been one that, if he was going to come in, he'd probably like to assess the squad before the end of the season as well. He'd have probably been in the stands or taking training or whatever by now, but yeah, that boat sailed.
Interesting comments today from the Bucky manager earlier on in the Highland Weekly, which should be with the P&J, etc. They had an interview with him, and he was quick to say that he was not going anywhere, which suggests to me that he's going somewhere, or certainly has been asked if he was going anywhere. And obviously now that Bucky's season is now finished, because obviously they lost on Saturday, that's then finished for the season. It does open up questions about where does he go for next season.
I think it's a standard manager response. It's a bit like the players that take one game at a time. It's a typical manager response. To me, you can read into it if you want. If you're a Bucky supporter, you'd expect your manager to come out and say, I'm going nowhere. But that doesn't mean to say that there's been talks or he could be persuaded to go elsewhere. We've seen it numerous times over the last couple of years. In fact, by that, a player or a manager will say one thing and the opposite happens. So, never reading too much into that comment.
Does he, now, because we've obviously mentioned Ian McCall and Barry Robson are no longer, or we think Barry Robson's definitely not a contender, does Spider become a favourite in your eyes?
I think he was probably one of the favourites when the job first came about. I think if we're looking at guys like Ian McCall and Barry Robson, they're probably in a category that you would say would be brilliant to get. But realistically, they're probably just that bracket too high in terms of attracting them to Peterhead. So I think Spider certainly in the conversation. Again, I reiterate, I think we'll probably go down the route of a more experienced manager or coach. Again, the terminology will be key when he comes in as well. Is it going to be a Peterhead coach or a Peterhead manager? I think they're different as well. But yeah, I think he's definitely a contender. Whether he's still going to be a contender this time next month remains to be seen.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So that brings us on to our two questions. Andrew Beagrie and Neil Thompson, thank you for your questions. Similar vein, the two questions. Andrew's is, I'm expecting a rebuilding job for next season. So do you think Ryan and Jordan deserve a chance, or are we looking for someone with more experience? And Neil has asked, have already mentioned it, but although Ryan and Jordan are doing a fine job holding down the fort, is it now the time to get a new manager in so they're involved, sitting in the stand, not officially being approached, but they can also approach possible new signings? I definitely think now, I certainly think Ryan and Jordan's going to take it on for the end of the season. I know there's only two games to go, which obviously doesn't come as a major surprise. But in terms of the experience, you kind of touched on Andrew's question there, getting a more experienced manager in.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, there's the first question, there's almost two parts. Do they deserve to get it? Probably. Because I think some of our best performances this season, ironically, have been under Ryan and Jordan's tenure. Would they want it would be a question. I spoke to one of them the other week and there's been no talks. It was sort of left that it would be discussed at the end of the season, whether that's in terms for them as well, because they'll want to know what they're doing for their summer as well. Being a player and being a player slash coach would be a completely different summer for them too as well. But everything is going to be decided at the end of the season. I think it'll be an experienced man. I think Ryan and Jordan would be very good assets to have for a new manager that does come in. I think you've got to use their experience that they've got and had over the last couple of weeks But again, well, it's up to Roger on the board, and we'll see where they go.
Taking it to Neil's question about having someone sitting in the stand and looking at the squad and possibly looking at what we need for next season. If anybody was interested in the Peterhead job, they would have a fair idea of the squad and the players. Obviously, they wouldn't have came any of the sort of training that's going on at the minute. But a lot of these coaches, managers, clubs up and down the country are heavily involved with the My Scout facility website, so they will have access to Peterhead's games, performances. There's highlights, you know, throughout YouTube for the various clubs. So they will, if they were interested, they would. I certainly like to think they would be doing their due diligence now.
Yeah, the interview process from, you know, it's okay a manager being interviewed for it, but the clubs also try to sell themselves as well. It's a two-way thing. And I'm sure, like you said, any coach or manager out there that is interested in the job, they will be probably watching things through apps and things like that. There's no reason to say that maybe one of them isn't sent someone along to watch a game and report back. These things, you know, they'll happen. But I think you probably are looking at wanting a new manager appointed pretty sharpish now. Obviously, we all know it's probably going to be League Two next season. Is this where results might, you know, on Saturday sort of officially confirm relegation? But you'd like to think the club are now just starting to ramp up their recruitment process and try and figure out where they go, because it's a massive rebuilding job in the summer. There's only, what is it, 7 players that are tied into contracts for next season. A lot of players are on loan, a lot of players on short contracts. So you want to try and get things sorted to give you the best possible chance for next season.
Yeah, this last game is obviously a week Saturday, 6th of May. So you'd like to think that if you've not got an appointment by sort of in and around then, or certainly making an official announcement, you want to have the new management team in by the end of May and get things started. Because a lot of the players, as you said, our contracts are up at the end of May once the season's finished as well. So you want to make sure that you've got some kind of team to work with before you start bringing in others.
I mean, for me personally, I generally would like to see, whether it's official or whether it's unofficial, I would like to see a new permanent boss, you know, known to the players before the Falkirk game. I think that is your last opportunity to have the players together as a group. Because obviously, once the league season's done, players will then, you know, you're not going to take them up to Balmoor or get them all together for a training session. You know, the season's done. They will go their separate ways for various reasons, holidays, etc., etc. I would like to see someone, like I said, whether it's unofficial or not, but so the players have a clear identity of who will be the person or people taking them, you know, for next season.
Yeah, it is a tricky situation, because obviously you want to get things going, but you don't want to rush an appointment. Well, obviously, it'll depend on what's happening with other clubs as well. We mentioned Spire. It depends on what he's going to be doing for next season. Obviously, he said he's not going. That might be the case, but there might be, as you said, just be a smokescreen for making sure that he's not getting anything. But they obviously, Bucky will be trying to keep him for as long as they can.
But also, with Bucky's season now officially being ended, you just wonder if things will start to ramp up this week. Yes, I know what's been said in the media, but you don't always take that face value. Mark Cowie's been mentioned, again, Fraserburgh's season's ended. So this is why I think things will now start to ramp up as season's finish and clubs start to decide where they're going.
Yeah, one other question came in. We answered it on our social media, but it was to do with David Wilson. Again, much like Bucky and Fraser, but Inverurie Locos' season's now finished. David Wilson has been on loan there. Unfortunately for David, it does mean that he still can't play for us for the remaining two games, just because of the rules. He can't recall. He will probably be involved with the training, as he probably has been. Might be in and around the squad for the two games, but unfortunately he won't be involved. But it's been a fairly successful loan spell for him. 9 out of 10 games he was available for, he played, which was good for him. Out of those 9 games, he had 6 90 minutes as well. So it's a good confidence builder for him, I think, as well. And I would like to see him being involved next season as well, because I think he can add something to the squad.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think he's been successful for his personal point of view. I certainly think he can be an asset to us in League Two if it's official on Saturday. It's disappointing that he didn't get to bide. I think with the players that did leave, I didn't hear much cripes for the players that did go and join. That's probably one that you sort of maybe feel probably could have done a job for us, having him around. You know, he can be around the team on Saturday and next week, but obviously he can't play because of the registration rules.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting as well, because if he does sign on for next season, because his contract's up at the end of the season, like a lot of them, where does the new manager see him? Does he see him playing as a centre-half? Does he see him playing as a right-back? Which then obviously brings questions into, you know, does Danny Strachan play right-back as well? Or do they compete? Or does Danny move over to left-back as well? So, but I definitely think David is one that you would like to have around. And I think he's well-liked within the squad as well.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think there was a few folk had sort of mentioned that they were disappointed to see him go in January. I think he could slot in nicely along with Jason Brown at centre-back if Ryan Strachan was to take time out of the team and be a manager. You never know.
Well, that's the thing as well, because you would want to try and have as many players as you can that can, you know, play at that certain level. And obviously, if you get Jason signed up for next season again and David signed up for next season, it's a fairly straightforward transition for the two of them. They can play together. They've played together before. It's not like bringing in new players who haven't played together before in a season in a league where we would want to get off to a good start straight away.
Yeah, you need really good foundations for next season. I think if you did have Jason Brown and David Wilson as your centre-backs, it gives you that platform. I think Danny Strachan at right-back as well. We've got to remember, although it hasn't been a successful season for some of the players this season, that's not to say they kind of do a really good job for us next season. So, I mean, there's some folk that have said, oh, neither of the players are good enough, etc. Got to remember, if you're dropping down a level as well, these players do have certain qualities that can, you know, make a big difference in League Two.
Yeah, and we've got to, if we look back on the season as a whole, we've had so many formation changes, style changes, things that probably didn't suit a lot of the players throughout the season anyway. And it's not until, as you said, once Ryan and Jordan took over that we went back to, you know, essentially a 4-4-2, and it seemed to be working better, and players are working harder and working for each other more than they were before.
I think one thing that can be questioned is the players' commitment. I mean, we've questioned it previously under Jim, and questioned it under David, just some of them weren't given the effort. I think what Ryan and Jordan have certainly done is they've got these players, you know, fully committed, and maybe hasn't always been successful in the games, but I certainly think you've seen a team that are trying a lot harder than what they maybe have under previous regimes.
Right, so let's get on to Saturday's game, as much as we maybe don't want to, but we will have to cover it, I'm afraid. It was a game we were building as being almost a season definer, really. It was going to let us know if these last two games were going to be worth anything in terms of, you know, are we going to be fighting for survival? Is there still a chance for us to finish ninth? And, you know, it finished 1-1, but for a large spell of that game, you were almost coming away from that game thinking that's it, the gap's got to be 2 points, and then just that sucker blow right at the end, it's just a right kick in the teeth, right kick in the guts. And it was a horrible, horrible feeling coming away from there on Saturday, which is a strange feeling, a feeling we probably haven't had for a long time, thinking that we've drawn a game, but we felt as though we should have won it.
It certainly felt worse than a kick in the guts, that's for sure. It was good for 90 minutes. It was just that last 2-3 minutes that just unravelled. It felt like a defeat, probably the manner of it. Obviously, it basically is a defeat, is it? Because Jena closed the gap. I said last week it was a must-win, and the fact we didn't win, to me, we are... It's mathematically still possible, but I think the fact that you've won three games last season, you need to win two in your last two, probably a bridge too far. But yeah, a very difficult afternoon, and also with the penalty miss as well, it just made things feel a lot worse.
Yeah, you know, you look at the game, I think they've done everything that they could to win that game. And we've come up against a keeper who's probably been in spare form. Two great saves first half, and then obviously the penalty save second half. And it's just, I wouldn't say it sums up the season, but it's just when we're looking for something to go our way, it's near.
Yeah, I mean, the goal that they scored, the boy probably would have hit a sweeter shot, if you like. It's going over a defender as well, into the back stick. Slightly bemoaning our luck. We had chances, a wee bit like in the Edinburgh game. Although we won it, we created more chances, probably could have won by a bigger margin. The Dunfermline game, I thought we were decent for periods of it, didn't take our chances. And again on Saturday, we had a couple of chances. You had the goal, the penalty missed, but there were also two or three other ends that you probably feel that you probably had to take it. You needed that killer second. And whilst it's only a one goal lead, they're still in it and they punished us at the end.
Yeah, we'd set 10 shots, 6 on target. So it tells you how good the Clyde keeper had played. I think he probably would have gotten man of the match from a lot of the Clyde supporters that day as well. And it's another late one as well. If you think back to the away game down there, which they won 1-0, very, very late winner for them. So even if we've held out, you know, if we've held out against Dún there, got a 0-0 and held out up here, the gap would have only been, what, 2 points? Or 1 point, or whatever it might have been, with my masters in the gate at the minute, because I'm thinking about it. But, you know, had we held out, that's, you know, almost, what, 5 points? A difference, a 5 point swing either way?
Yeah, it's been a season that ifs and buts, is it, unfortunately. Yeah, we've only got ourselves to blame. I think, as we mentioned last week, the fact that we'd only three wins to our name, we're now sitting at the end of April, and the fact that we could have still, somehow with three games to go, gotten out of it. I think, it's no secret, it's been a hell of a season in the wrong way. And, you know, you're really looking for a response for next season.
I mean, there is a possibility, we'll come into the Celtic game shortly, but there is a possibility that we go down to Celtic, win down there, and still get relegated on Saturday.
Yeah, it's now out of our hands. That's a problem. But it's now, you know, Clyde are aware that they just need 1 point. It will be mathematically impossible for us today.
Because of the goal difference,
Because of the goal difference. So, yeah, I mean, it's now out of our hands. That's why, you know, as I spoke a couple of weeks ago, we both did, you know, we'd been touching distance and then it was a must-win game. This is the reason why, even with two games still to go, it's out of our hands and there's nothing we can do.
Pleasing thing about the game on Saturday was, as we said, we were creating chances. It was a game that we, especially for that first half, controlled quite a bit. I don't think Clyde really troubled us too much in the first half. And it looked as though it was a game that we were more likely to win.
I think the setup suited us. I think Clyde were a wee bit edgy. It was a weird one from their point of view because they probably knew a draw would have been good enough. You've seen by the way they celebrated at the end. They were delighted to get that point. It's sort of, they were sort of twits in between. Do they try and go for it and win the game outright, or do they try and just try and get a point? Sort of suited us. We were on the front foot, which was good to see. I think in games this season at home, we've sort of been a wee bit cagey and try to feed our way into the game. On Saturday, we started off positively. We got off to a decent start. Got a wee bit of momentum behind us, but again, it was just that kicker right at the end.
Jordan's goal in the first half, his first of the season. Terrific little wee goal. Andy McCarthy's ball through, it was just a ball over the top. But Jordan's made that run, breaking in between the two lines, getting in behind the back line, and a tidy wee finish for him.
Yeah, really good finish. Great ball by Andy McCarthy as well. Again, rightly so, people are praising the effort for Jordan, but it's a really good ball, perfectly weighted as well. And, you know, a really good finish. It got us off to a really good start.
And Oyensen a bit involved in that as well, because he held up the ball for McCarthy and be able to play the ball in behind. So him coming deep, collecting the ball, holding it up. Again, something that we've mentioned a few times in the last couple of episodes, but just how better he seems to be getting week in, week out with his hold-up play as well. Maybe just lacking that composure in front of goal.
Yeah, one of them players that maybe didn't quite hit it off when he first came in. A change of management has sort of helped him. And he's done well. Like you said, he held up the ball well. I thought he was a nuisance on Saturday. Didn't really get a Clyde defence much. Same way Shanks up front, to be fair. They sort of run the channels well, the two of them. And like you said, Andy McCarthy's ball through for Jordan, perfectly weighted. A really good team goal as well. The knockdown ball through. Yeah, really impressive.
And would you make the changes? Obviously, Bislin dropped out, and we had Danny Sarkin playing as a right back. And it seemed to be more of a flat 4-4-2 rather than the 4-4-2 diamond that we've been playing the last couple of games. It seemed to be of a more balanced side. We had Jack Brown on one side, Jack McIver on the other.
I think it suited us. I think Bislin maybe in recent weeks has maybe been caught out of position, napping at times. I think he sort of gets drawn to the ball a wee bit too often for my liking, rather than seeing the bigger picture and maybe sometimes holding his position. I think Danny will give you that, but he also gives you that engine going forward. I think I was more apparent in the Dunfermline home game from Bislin was sort of caught out. So yeah, I wasn't was not overly disappointed with the change. I thought Danny did well, and as you said, it was more of a flat back four rather than almost like a back three with wing back. So I think on Saturday for the Clyde game, it did suit us.
And it was obvious as well that Jordan was the one that was going to be, you know, going forward from midfield. But there was times as well where Andy McCarthy was getting forward and Jordan would sit deep, which is exactly what you're looking for a two-man midfield, recognising if one's going to go, the other one stays back.
Yeah, it's something we've been moaned for much of the season, that you know, you try and get the ball forward and there's no runners. We've mentioned it a few times, but they complemented each other well. They have done in recent weeks. One goes, one stays. And I think that's key, that they've got a good understanding that there's no just one of them will always go forward and one always stays back. They will rotate, which also causes your opposition to be more mindful if it's happening in midfield. I think sometimes with a diamond it works well because you sort of get numbers in the middle. You're just slightly caught out of position out wide. But no, I think the two of them complement each other well in the midfield.
The Oyenson had an opportunity as well, second half, to kill the game off. It was a bit of a weird one. He went off injured, and the referee allowed him to come back on again. And the defender didn't even see him coming on, and the defender turned towards him. And Oyenson sort of snatched that and blazed it over. But yeah, it would have been a comedy goal. Had it gone in.
Yeah, it would have been interesting if it had gone in, the Clyde player's reaction. But I think when the referee did allow Oyenson back on, the ball was at the far end anyway. So it was across, you know, the ball went across the goal anyway. So they couldn't have had much complaint. Well, they were that referee in decision anyway.
Let's get on to the other one then, the penalty decision. I think it was the only thing he really gave to us all game. We'll sort of go into him a little bit later, but yeah, penalty decision, instant reaction at the game, we both thought soft.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I've seen incidents in the penalty box up here that are more worthy of a penalty and they being given. We'll put it in a soft category, but I'd also say it's a good play by Andy McCarthy.
Intellectual play.
Yes. We'll go with that.
And to be fair, there wasn't much complaint from the Clyde players either, so maybe they thought it was more of a penalty and maybe just a clumsy challenge from their perspective.
Yeah, probably one that the defender didn't need to make. There was players in about him. I think it's clever play by Andy McCarthy to win the foul, shall we say. They say they dive, far from it. There is contact, but I think it's definitely in the soft category.
And something you picked up on, I didn't pick up on, but Oyenson, you said, basically sprinted towards the ball to get the ball.
Yeah.
But it was Shanks that took it, so and I didn't quite catch what, I don't know why I wasn't looking, but what was happening there? Did you see what happened?
Yeah, so the penalty decision has been awarded by the referee. So obviously when Andy's got the ball, sort of heading towards the byline, Oyenson sprinted to get the ball, he's picked up the ball, he's bounced it a couple of times, almost sort of trying to get himself in the zone. And then I think it's Jordan that's gone over, and basically along with Shanks, and the ball's been passed over. Now it's interesting that Keaton then went on to miss the penalty. You know, you always want a striker to take a penalty. You think they're mere confidence, but it was interesting that, you know, Josh is also full of confidence, he's gone over to get the ball, it's been passed over. You know, clearly you can see that Josh is disappointed that's been taken off him, but unfortunately we then missed the penalty.
Yeah, I just wonder maybe because Josh has scored the goal against FC Edinburgh the week before, he's full of confidence a little bit. He's obviously, he feels as though he wants to take it. Kieran's was taking the previous one and scored it. Maybe that's the kind of mindset that I think, well, he's already taken a penalty and he scored it. I know Kieran's playing well but hasn't been scoring. I wonder if his confidence levels was maybe doing a little bit, because in the end, it wasn't a great penalty. I know it was saved, but it was a perfect height for the keeper. You know, it wasn't up in the top corner, it wasn't in the bottom corner. It was just that kind of height where if the keeper goes the right way, he's going to save it.
Yeah, so it's a weird one, because you want your strikers to be full of confidence, and Josh has played well in recent weeks. It's maybe one of them situations where you want Kieran to get that goal, a bit of confidence in him as well, and then you've got two strikers that are, you know, got a bit of confidence about them. But the penalty, it's a perfect height for a keeper. It's neither high, it's neither low. It's, you know, really comfortable for the goalkeeper. And it sort of just struck me as a penalty from a player that was lacking confidence. And also, this conversation doesn't come about if he puts it in the middle and he scores.
Mm-hmm.
And you go 2-0 up. But the fact that he missed it, you then start thinking, and plus the fact that Josh made a beeline for the ball, he was evidently looked confident and wanted to take it. A strange game, but, you know, probably with the outcome of the game, it was a massive moment and a turning point.
Maybe Josh, maybe there had been a conversation previously between the two that he was going to take the next one, but because of, I guess, the importance of the game, the importance of, you know, going 2-0 up at that stage, maybe Jordan and Kieran just thought, no, we'll stick with Kieran with this one.
Yeah, potentially, like you said, if you go 2-0 up, I think that would have been the game pretty much done for our point of view. It's just unfortunate he missed it, but again, it was not a good penalty, we'll be honest with that.
No, and it'd be nice to see what happens if we get another one, maybe on Saturday or certainly against Falkirk, and see what happens. Because it'll be one of those where Kieran will want to take the next one because he's missed to make up for the previous one, but then Josh will want to take one because Kieran's missed.
Because Kieran, yeah. Like I said, it's probably one of them, you want your strikers to have confidence. I think Kieran's gameplay in recent weeks has been decent. He's probably just lacking that goal and that bit of confidence. And he wanted to take the penalty. Evidently, he felt confident enough to take it. I'd have been more disappointed if both my strikers sort of shied away from taking the penalty in a crucial game. Evidently, they were both up for it, but the execution of the penalty was poor.
So despite the penalty being awarded and penalty missed, and Josh Oyenson's effort play going over the bar from about, what, 8-10 yards, I think that really was the only chances we had second half, whereas Clyde, on the other hand, I felt though they came out the second half and were really up for it, much like with the Dunfermline game. I felt they came out the second half much more fired up. I think Clyde were as well. They really had to be, and I think for maybe the first sort of 5-10 minutes we were sort of hemmed in there.
Yeah, you said in the game on Saturday after 10 minutes at Clyde, it came out all guns blazing. One of them that, weirdly, they probably nothing to lose, whether they went 2-0 down or whether they continued going the way they were. They were only going to go 2-0 down. They needed a reaction. I think Jim Duffy got them in at half-time, probably the right time as well. I felt we were getting stronger as the half went on. But, you know, that's now a couple of games that we've had at home where we've gone in with a, you know, Dunfermline 0-0 and then with 1-0 against Clyde, where we've gone in at half-time, looked decent, but we've come out in the second half and we hadn't really started for 10, 15 minutes. You know, and now when I make a big difference at the end of the season, but, you know, that's one of them things that you try and figure out if it's gone wrong and, you know, do you need to put them back out a couple of minutes earlier for just a get a touch of the ball again before they start the second half? But yeah, we started off really poor in the second half.
And it didn't, although they did score at the end, it didn't look as though they were really going to score. I think they only had three shots on target. Obviously, one of them was the goal. I think the other two were fairly comfortable saves for McKenzie. So it never really looked as though they were going to score. It was almost as though that I didn't feel as though either that we were just sort of holding out either, because we were still getting the ball forward, etc. So for them to then equalise so late, and then the manner that they did as well was just so gutting, and you just felt as though the whole, you couldn't get even emotional about it, because it just everything, just, you know, all of your emotions just sort of fell out you as soon as that ball hit the back of the net.
Yeah, it was a proper kick in the guts, as you said. It was, it was season defining, and probably, it does put us down. I think the only way that Clyde were going to get into the game or get a goal was through that long throw. They seemed to use it pretty much every chance that they could. The centre back comes up and he tries to get a flick on. We've just lost a runner in the box. He's come across. He's hit it really well. And obviously the angle that we're at, you can sort of see it. We're right behind it. It hits a post and goes in. And you can just tell by the way that Clyde scored, they knew how important that goal was. And we've got players that are, on their knees. They realise as well how crucial it was. And, I felt a bit gutted for the lads, to be honest, because they put a lot into that game. They realised how important it was. And just right at the death of being hit in the sucker punch.
Yeah, we were looking right at it, obviously, and just for a split second, a half second, because it came off the post.
You hoped it was coming back out.
You thought it was going to come back, so, a quarter of an inch more to the right, it probably would have just come straight back out again, and maybe going into the keeper's hands or going away somewhere else. We said before, fine margins there. As you said, he's probably caught it the best he probably could have. He mishits it, it goes over, it goes well wide or whatever.
I would go as far as to say he could do that 100 times and he's hardly going to, put it in the area that he did. I'd bat my keeper on most occasions in that one. Like we said, it's small margins, but, in that game you couldn't afford to do anything. But you put that, they didn't have many chances on the back of the penalty miss as well. The other chances that were hit, you just left there thinking that was the one that got away. And there's been a few. You can look at our home form and go, home or away, it's not been great. But there has been games at Balmoor that you feel that you could have probably got something more out of, and that was certainly one of them.
Yeah, and you look at the four games against Clyde this season, and it's a win each and two draws. The first game down there, obviously we come back for 2-0 down after being 2-0 down quite early on, so that's probably a decent point to pick up.
Yeah,
we've won the game up here, but in January, after the game was postponed, and then we go down there, lose a game late on, as I said, and then lose 2 points with up here as well. So, as I said, you're almost 5 points of a swing because of two really late goals from Clyde in the last two games. And again, that will be the difference at the end of the season, I think, those 5 points.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it will come down to, the games against Clyde. We were almost in a mini league, after Christmas, between the two of us, it was going to be one from two. And, that games have sort of been the ones that will put us down. You can go away to Dunfermline and get beat. We're 2-0 down to Dunfermline, we came back to get something from it. But if you do it against Clyde, the teams that you really need to do it against, it's 5 points apiece, and that's probably if it's going to keep us down.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how it's looking. I know even the biggest optimists would say, there are still 6 points to play for. The gap's only five. As we've said, they only need to get a point against Dunfermline or Falkirk in their last two games, and that's it, done for them.
I mean, if you're wanting the positive or the optimistic outlook, is Dunfermline, I think they get the trophy on Saturday, so they will be playing Clyde. They want to win anything to spoil their party. They're on a 20-odd game unbeaten run. They'll want to finish the season strongly as well. There's a chance that Clyde get nothing from it if we beat Kilty, all ifs and buts, and then you take it down to the last game of the season. Falkirk can have been in great form either. Clyde play at Montrose, nothing to play for there. It could be one of them dead rubber games. But it's all ifs and buts, but I think it's even from your point of view, it's going to be difficult to try and spin this one as we've got a chance. Yeah. I think the game on Saturday, we built it up as a must-win. We said it was going to be a season definer, and the fact that we hadn't won it, could be the crucial one. But the season will not be defined on just that one game on Saturday.
No.
You take over the season and, if we're being brutally honest, we haven't been good enough.
Yeah, as folks say, the table doesn't lie in the end. And as you said, it's not just down to the last three or four games. It's been the season as a whole. Let's get some of your comments. A lot of comments coming again this week, so we'll go through some of them just now. Jason Argo, who, by the way, is sporting a fantastic beard and moustache combination.
Hands off to
him. I don't know if he's waiting to see if he wins another game before he shaves it off, because if he's not, he's going to be waiting.
He's going to hate something, I'll tell you.
So Jason says, don't see anything other than relegation now, sadly. Shank's penalty miss was more costly than we first thought. On the other hand, though, cheaper season tickets for next season. So that's
the optimistic outlook.
That's the optimistic, positive spin on it, I guess. But on a more serious note, though, it's an interesting point, because obviously we'll be going dropping down leagues. So you would expect tickets and season tickets to change slightly. But at the same time, a lot of folk have, we're still in a cost of living crisis, as we all know, and you know, it might be a case where people say, well, actually, I'd maybe forego my season ticket this next season because we are going to be in League Two, or maybe just get a ticket when I'm more interested in going. We may end up losing a few folk that we might have been classified as regulars because we're now in League Two, and that's a stark reality that a lot of clubs face when they drop down divisions.
Well, this has come a podcast a couple early. I thought that might have been on the tail end of the end of season one, speaking about season tickets. But yeah, I think you've also got to bear in mind that the cost of the tickets, the club's now got to weigh up that pros and cons of, do you reduce them to try and get fans in, or are you now going to see fans going, well, there's Highland League teams I can see, there is your local junior team that you might want to go and see if you're dropping down division, also the quality isn't as there as what you'd expect it to be. But that's why I think the choice on management team that come in, you want to try and get your business done early. You get season ticket sales, which then goes back in the club as a transfer budget. It's a knock-on effect. If the club sit and hold tight and do nothing, some of the fans might do the same. You'll always have your hardcore supporters that will renew their ticket regardless. They'll always go to the games. But if you're a more casual supporter and you were there this season, like you said, you might decide that next season you'll maybe sit it out, or you'll maybe just initially just get a ticket as you want and then get a season ticket. But yeah, it's an interesting conversation, and one I'm sure we'll touch on over the next couple of weeks.
Sure, Fraser said it's time to accept relegation. We've had plenty of time to get out of this situation and we're still here, back to League Two and rebuild. And I think that's probably, again, something that we can maybe touch on over the next couple of episodes, because we've been there before. We've been relegated and we've bounced back again.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it now, it's bitterly disappointing that, you know, mathematically we'll all probably go down now. But it's near the end of the world. We've got to remember the club is well run. There has been a lot of comings and goings this season, player-wise, management as well. But the club is still in a relatively healthy position, which should stand us in good stead for next season and going forward.
Will Roberts, it's a harsh end to the game for us. We were the better side for most of it and should have gotten two or three, but that's football. Ryan and Jordan have done well in motivating the team. They seem to have us fighting for everything, but we lack a bit of quality. A big rebuild ahead. Andrew Jones, devastated at losing a last-minute goal. To be honest, we had more chances today. Rosemary Cow, as you say, we still have two games to go, so you never know. As I said, that's kind of the most optimistic that we can be and say, well, there's still two games to go. You never know. If we can get something that get a win on Saturday and Clyde lose, obviously, then you know you really are clutching at straws then.
I mean, I would love to be optimistic, but the fact it's out of our hands as well. You could win the last two games, but it could be completely irrelevant based on what Clyde did. So had it still been in our hands, yes, you could try and spin the optimistic outlook on it. But as we've said, Clyde, you know, Dunfermline and Montrose, you'd expect them to get something. But even then, we would need to win our two games, so very difficult.
George Buchan, absolutely gutted with the equaliser, and never capitalised on a second goal, which would have made it more comfortable. Tall order now, but it's a division below, I'm afraid. Karen Raspin, sorely disappointed we didn't capitalise on the great first half. Robert Patterson, if we had a striker, we could have at least five. That includes the missed penalty. Second division, here we come. Sean Beattie, gutted to concede so late, as they never looked like scoring. Penalty miss was a big one, as it was game over if that went in. Stranger things have happened. Could still win the last two games and Clyde lose two. still got to believe. So there's still optimism within the support, and that's what we're saying. It's not just over yet. But
no, it's, well, mathematically it's not over. I think in reality, you know, I think the board and the club are now, I would imagine this week, preparing for League Two. You'll, you know, start setting aside budgets and, you know, finance, things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be a difficult outlook when you put on paper, you know, we'll be League Two next season. But as we just touched on a minute ago, it's near the end of the world, although it's difficult to take now. You know, there will be some light at the end of the tunnel.
Lee Esselmint, Shanks not scoring sums up a pretty poor season. That said, next season in League Two is a great opportunity to get back to the good times. And that's exactly, I think, what we're saying about rebuilding. You know, we've been there before. We can win games in League Two, and that gives us the foundations, the building blocks to start winning games again and build up the confidence and try and, you know, potentially, without being overly optimistic at this stage, but going and winning another League Two title.
We've got to also remember that, you know, this season we've only got 3 wins, but I can't remember if we touched on an episode or whether it was off-air that January to April last year, so 2022, we only had like 4 or 5 wins there as well. So if you've been a player with the club for the last 2 seasons, you may well have only have won 8 games in, you know, 15 months. So it's a confidence thing in football. That is a hell of a task to overcome as well. A perfect opportunity to rebuild. We've seen the dynamic of the group change as well based on, you know, players' locations. I get the argument about local players. Not always as simple just to go out and say, you're a local player, you'll do. There's mitigating circumstances that I'm sure people will appreciate. But it's just, folk have rightly pointed out, great opportunity next season to rebuild and try and get a squad used to with a winning mentality.
Finally, Scott Reid deserved to win that one. Clyde didn't do much in the game. We should have been cleared by a couple of goals even before the penalty sums up our season. And you obviously, you'll notice that the comments and the theme of the comments is pretty much the same. Everybody just feels so gutted, devastated. Those are the kind of words that was being bandied about.
Yeah, you could tell by the atmosphere on Saturday when that goal went in. There was just almost like a sharp intake of air because everybody was like gasping at, you know, couldn't quite believe it. You know that it was a 90-minute game, but just the way the guy hit it, so sweet, left foot, he hits the post, and as you mentioned, you know, an inch either side, you know, to the right, and it's coming back out. And yeah, probably just sum up the season. We miss a penalty, and then later on in the game, they punish us.
It's like the Office meme where Michael Scott just goes, "No, please, God, no, no, yes, no." Yes, yeah. That was that kind of feeling when that ball hit the net. It was just so gutting. But I wonder if you've noticed in the comments. Obviously, we've been getting comments all season. There is a change in tone, I think, with the comments, whereas previously, vast majority of the comments were all really negative in terms of, you know, the players, the way they're playing, the results towards the management, etc. The last few weeks, the comments have been slightly a different note, whereas they've acknowledged that the performances have been better, even maybe though that the results haven't been.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think as a supporter, all you want is your team to try and show that they're willing to put in the effort and commitment. And, you know, we've touched on it before. I think there has been certain players that have played for us this season that have not always been as committed as what they could be. I think performance levels have been, you know, pretty shocking from some of them. Not them all, it must be said. But I think as a collective unit now, and I must give praise to Ryan and Jordan, since they've come in, we've looked at a better unit, better structure. I think they're picking players that want to play. I think you can see that in the team performance as well. You know, as supporters, you just want to see your team play well on a Saturday. Okay, results are now gone for us, but I don't think you can lay that at Ryan and Jordan's door. This is the hand that they were dealt with. And I think given the experience that McAnally had and then David Robertson come in, the fact that it's Ryan and Jordan that start to get a tune out of this squad, I think speaks volumes for them too on a personal note. So, I can see why the comments have changed. I think there is almost a realization that how the team are now playing. And you know, we'll go to League Two and we'll give it our all.
Yep, yeah, and we'll see what next season brings. Hopefully, we chat more about wins than losses next season, because I kind of go through another season, I guess.
It's been rough.
Right, before we move on to Saturday's game, date for your diaries, as you probably have noticed on Peterhead's social media and other social medias, there is an event on May the 19th at Balmoor. John McMaster, former Aberdeen player, has a book launched, and he is doing a book tour, and one of the stops will be at Balmoor. Which is on the, as I said, Friday the 19th of May, 7:30 start. And you may ask yourself why John McMaster will be doing a book tour and coming to Peterhead.
Why is he doing a book tour, Colin?
Well, I will tell you. Thank you for asking. Like many Aberdeen players of that kind of area, he had a loan spell in the Highland League with Peterhead back in the early 70s, 72 to 73, I think it was. So obviously readying him for what would have been what then ended up being a fantastic career at Berlin. So he's coming to there. We've got our tickets for that night, so looking forward to that. Sell tickets available, and it should be a good night. I think 10 quid for our tickets, so it should be a good
and
night.
Where can we purchase tickets should we wish to go?
You can get tickets from 2stars.co.uk, which is where the website is selling the tickets. You can also buy the book there as well. You can get details of where the tour is going as well, on there as well. But there's also going to be a guest there as well. William Miller will also be joining John for the Q&A as well, which, again, another one who had a loan spell with Peterhead early on in his career and then went on to do reasonably well at the Aberdeen show.
I've heard he did reasonably well. On a totally unrelated note, sponsorships are still available to the Blue Tune podcast,
yeah, for us for next season as well.
Completely unrelated.
So yeah, that should be a good night. If you haven't got your tickets, that should be a good night. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, like you said, it's a Friday night, so come along and have a chat with the guys. It should be a good night. Looking forward to it.
Certainly, wouldn't be anything else happening at that time.
No, it's certainly winner.
I'm just trying to think. Might squeeze into the playoffs, but I think we're unlikely at this stage, but you never know.
And you'll leave Balmoor kidding that you cannot lose.
You might be £10.
Well, like to think so.
You might be £10 or £15 out of pocket if you've bought the book or whatever.
But you've beaten the bar.
It should be a good night. So looking forward to that as well. So Kelly on Saturday is our final. I say final, it might not be, but it's looking likely it is going to be our final away game. Final away game of the campaign. And we said last week's game against Clyde was a must win. This is a must win, as I've said before, even though we could win it and still it'll be meaningless.
Yeah, difficult to sort of preview this one, given the fact that we sort of know it's going to be League Two. But you're probably asking the players for personal pride. You know, you've got to try and give it everything in the last couple of games. Difficult, because obviously it's out of our hands. If Clyde gets on a Dunfermline, it's all over. But, like I said, personal pride for the players, I'm sure they'll want to kick it on as long as they can. And you never know, if Dunfermline beat Clyde and we manage to get a win at Kilty, you just never know.
Much like what you're saying about Clyde going to Dunfermline, although they've got nothing to really to play for, it is their last home game of the season. They obviously want to finish well. They'll be getting the trophy and everything that comes with that on Saturday. It is Kelty's last home game of the season as well. Although they've got nothing to play for, they've finished eighth. They can't finish any higher, they can't finish any lower. They'll want to end the season well. But as I said, because they've got nothing really to play for, that might just play into our hands slightly, knowing that we need something out of this game.
We spoke about it 4 or 5 weeks ago. The timing of when you play teams is crucial as well. And, you know, all ifs and buts. If we got a win on Saturday, we would then be describing this as a Kelty's got nothing to play for. It's Dunfermline's title day. They want to win. They'll have a packed crowd at East End Park. You know, that could play into our favour as well. So I would still think Kelty it wouldn't be an easy game, but the fact that they've got nothing to play for, you just feel that there's maybe an opportunity there to get the 3 points.
And we talked maybe form at this stage of the season, it doesn't really count for much, but they've had no wins in their last nine, so they're not exactly flying in all cylinders at the minute either.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be expecting a classic game at Kelty, to be honest. Teams that don't score many goals concede quite a lot. But yeah, I go back to, I think, personal pride from a player's point of view. You want to make sure you at least try and take it to the last day, but, you know, it's out of our hands. But we can only but hope that we can go down there and get the 3 points.
Yeah, if we can get it to the last day, I think that would be an achievement considering how badly things have been going and how far away we were at one stage as well. Just getting it to the last day of the season might just put doubt into Clyde's thoughts as well.
Yeah, I mean, if you can take it to the last game of the season, you can build it up, you know, try and put the seed of doubt in Clyde's mind, etc., etc. But I probably think that the fact that we got beat, you know, the fact that results didn't go for us last week, and the fact that we didn't beat Clyde, it's probably that 2 weekends that is probably just the final nail in the coffin.
A win each and a draw in the previous three games between the two sides. Obviously, that 2-1 win up at Balmoor early on in the season, which was our first win of the season, and then a 3-0 loss, which I think was the second game or the first game.
It's under Davey.
Under David Robertson, yeah. And then the 1-1 up here. So obviously, not much between the two sides. It's a game that you would take anything at this stage, but it has to be it has to be 3 points.
Yeah, it has to be, or else it will, you know, be official that you're going to do if Clyde get anything. But I touch on that again. As a player, you would want to try and at least take it to the last game. You don't want to be running out against Falkirk and you're relegated. You know, that must be an awful feeling as well. Yeah, there's a good way to get relegated, but knowing that you have another match to play, I can imagine that would be a sore one to take. But if you can take it to the last game of the season, you just never know. There's been stranger things that have happened in Thibba.
Take it to the last game. You don't want to be sort of coming off the park having seen Clyde getting beat 3-0, 4-0, whatever, and we've struggled to a 0-0. That would be just, either Clyde could get beat 20-0 at that stage. It doesn't make any difference. But make sure that we've won the game and then look for the results elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously took it in our hands, but we can only focus on Fitwee Dee on Saturday. And hopefully if you come off the pitch at 10-5, you've got that win. You know, if Clyde have won their game or gotten something from it, fair dues, they've tried to go to the last game of the season. If you win and you come off the park and realise that Clyde have gotten beat, when Clyde go into the dressing room and realise that Peterhead have won the game, psychologically that is a massive thing, because Clyde have been bottom in months and you could pick them in the last year of the season.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you're the optimist, you're looking at that thinking it's still, you know, you can still get something from it and bite up, but, you know, hell of a tough.
It is going to be tough. As I said, we need to be positive, try and go down there and try and win the game. If we play to the way that we did for large spells of the game on Saturday, we could well come away with something there.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you play the way we really have over the last month, I would say take away the Montrose game, which wasn't ideal, but you factor in it was 3 games in a week. You know, you give yourself the perfect opportunity. The fact that Kelty's got nothing to play for as well. Good playing at our hands. Title day at East End Park. So there's things that can go in your favour, but it's just unfortunate that it took our hands to confirm it.
So joining me now to get a prospective, on the set of this game down at Kelty is Logan Back, who is... been a Kelty supporter for a wee while. How's the season been for you this season?
A bit of a mixed bag, really. I think obviously the club's been used to success over the past few years, obviously progressing up the leagues. This season's been a bit different, obviously. Coming into the league, you know, you've got a couple of full-time teams in the league as well, and all the part-time teams are really good as well for this level. So, been a bit of a different one, but it's been a big, good season, I think, for us.
You would have taken eighth, I guess, at the start of the season, though, would you?
Yeah, I think most supporters would have been happy with just staying up and then going into next season, seeing where it takes us. And then or maybe would have been happy with fifth or sixth going up the leagues, but, you know, eighth is fine.
You started off well start of the season. Maybe the last few weeks, few months, maybe hasn't been great, but because of that good start you had has been the reason why you finished it, and obviously because of Clyde and Peter, he'd been so horrendous as well.
Yeah, I mean, we've had tough, the games against you guys and Clyde have been tough as well. Obviously, both of you are fighting for your lives at the moment, and Saturday's game will be no different, I think.
Your final game of the season at home, does that mean it'll give you something a little bit extra, or is it one of those games where, because you've got nothing to play for, you might as well, it maybe feels like it's a dead rubber?
No, I think, the gaffer said that the past few weeks when I spoke to him, as a chance for players to get younger players in the under 20s who have been given their chance over the past few weeks, as a chance for maybe them to get some game time as well. But no, I mean, for the past month, we've realised that we're not going to go down, and the playoffs is maybe a bit out of reach, but it's still a chance to pick up some points and for younger players to gain some experience as well.
It's all about the building blocks for next season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, players fighting for their contracts as well. Who wants to stay and who will move on? But I assume it'll be a younger squad next year, obviously with the changes that have been made recently.
And have you enjoyed the season as a whole? You know, going to different stadiums, different teams, and different teams coming to Kelty as well.
Yeah, it's been a great experience. Obviously, going to Lexi East End Park and Fokker Stadium, the two biggest grounds in the league, and obviously picking up results there as well, some draws in the process and some victories. But yeah, it's been tough. I think we've actually favoured better against the full time teams than we have against the part time teams. So I don't know why that is, but I mean it's a good thing to take into next season, I suppose.
And yeah, the three games between two sides already this season has been fairly even. A win each and a draw. Do you see Saturday's game being very similar in terms of how close the two teams have been?
Yeah, I think, as I said, every game has been tough against you guys. And I think Saturday will be no different. Obviously, you've still got something to play for after Saturday's result. It's a bit tougher now, but I think if you had won that game, it would have been you would have came down and really, really went for it. Obviously, still going to are, but I mean, you'll be looking to hopefully try and get the playoff position, so I'm expecting a tough game on Saturday.
We certainly don't know what we're going to do there and doing what we did the last time, getting pumped 3-0. and I think it was David Robertson's first game in Charles, but it wasn't a great experience, but from your kind of perspective, maybe the perfect game?
Yeah, I mean it's probably I mean, obviously defensively recently we've been quite good. We had, I think it was four draws in a row, but they're all 0-0s, but it was all clean sheets as well, conceded in the last minute to Alloa, and then Edinburgh on Saturday was a bit of a different case, but I think we need to see if we can get a few goals to end the season. We're lacking a few goals recently, so hopefully that will happen on Saturday.
Yeah, I think what I've looked at here, I think it's six goals in the last nine games. Three 0-0s in a row as well, which is a phenomenal achievement to get 3-0s. But has that been a worry for you as a supporter, that the lack of goals or the goals have seemed dried up in the recent weeks?
I mean, there has been a few injuries up front. I mean, Nathan Austin's been out for a few weeks. Callum Higginbottom's been out, so that's two of your strikers out. So there has been issues like that. But we have seen, going defensively, there has been very good performances, keeping clean sheets at East End Park, keeping clean sheets at the Falkirk Stadium, and they were good battling performances, so there was encouraging signs. But when speaking to the manager as well, he wants more going forward, better on the ball, so hopefully we'll maybe see that on Saturday.
it's a case that obviously you mentioned the two there being out injured, but you're almost looking for somebody to step up and provide the goals while they're out in it.
Yeah, I think Higginbottom was back on Saturday and got on the score sheet, so it's clear the impact that he makes. Obviously, we've got Agyeman, Cardo came off the bench on Saturday as well and got the assist for Higginbottom's goal, so there's certainly creativity and threats in the side, but I think we'll maybe see, we've got a young striker, Finlay Shearer, who's been banging the goals in the 20s as well, and same with Jordan Hunter, so I think maybe they'll get a chance on Saturday to prove themselves in the last home game.
Is there any chance at all that you guys might just lay down and let us win? I know it's out of our hands, but at least if we could win the game, it might play out of our hands. You know, Dunfermline playing Clyde last game of their last home game for them as well. They'll get the trophy, so we're expecting Dunfermline to win that one. Any chance you might just do us a favour?
I don't know. I mean, they're the 20s players that might play are young and hungry. So they're not. They want obviously to prove themselves for next season as well, and prove themselves to the new manager Michael Tinsley next year. So I don't think it'll be. I don't think it'll be the case of that.
Yes, you could always ask, I suppose. That how do you see the game going? Do you think, because it is your last home game of the season, you'll be up for it and wanting to send the home supporters home happy at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's all about building for next year now. So I think leaving it on a positive note. I mean, it has been an all right season. It has been tough at times, but then there's been some good memories as well. So it'd be good to cap it off with a home victory on Saturday.
Yeah, and as I said, it's all about sort of building for next season. How do you see next season going? Well, obviously, without knowing who's going to be in at the moment, but plenty to positive to take out the season.
Yeah, I think it'll be a younger squad next year, a young, hungry squad looking to a bit more, I don't know. I mean, we've obviously signed Dara Mola from Bowness, who's scored 60-odd goals in the East of Scotland leagues. So obviously, we're talking about the lack of goals recently. Hopefully, he'll be able to help. That is a massive step up. But yeah, he's one player that we've already signed for next year. So the club has been looking to see what we can do next year. And that's just a start. Obviously, players, we'll see what players sign on, what players move on. But overall, I think it's going to be a more exciting year.
And a few changes in the background as well for you for next season?
Yeah, obviously, John Potter leaving the club, the manager, and then the general manager and sporting director leaving as well. So there's a complete change around. And I've spoke to the guys that are taking over. It should be an exciting time. Michael Tinsley, he's a leader in the dressing room as it is. It is his first managerial and coaching role at a club. But I think he will do well as he is a leader in the dressing room. Whether he's player manager, I'm not sure. But having spoken to Tins, I think he's ready to step up.
And as you said, because John Potter's leaving as well, he'll want to have his last home game to be the winning. You want to end it on a win, I should say.
Yeah, I think so. Having spoken to John all year, he's been fully focused on obviously the club and working really hard to improve the young players at Kelty and to progress as a team really in League One, getting the team used to League One. And he's been dedicated to the club, and he's been brilliant, to be honest, not only with obviously the players but with us in the media as well, and just a good guy, and I wish him all the best in what he does going forward.
Finally then, score prediction, how do you see the game going? It'd be nice.
I'm going to go for 2-1 Kelty. I think we might just have a bit too much for you guys in the day. Hopefully be a good game. Obviously, as I said, yous are fighting for your lives, so I don't think it'll be an easy game for Kelly, that's for sure.
I don't think it's going to be a pretty game either. I don't think it's going to be a classic, really, is it?
No, not sure. I would, obviously, with the lack of goals as well, but yous have got something to still play for in the league, so we shall see.
Logan, appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. Spoke to you a few times over the season, so thanks very much for that. I've been optimistic. I may be speaking to you again next season, but it's highly unlikely. Mm-hmm. So wish you well for next season, and we'll see what happens with Kelty next season.
That's it. Thank you. Cheers.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Logan Back for joining me to get his views on the Kelty game, and to Martin Smith for his views also. Thank you everyone for listening, and for your questions and comments, please keep them coming in. I've been Colin Byers, Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.